All right, back here on 760 WJR. Coming up, a little cabinet meeting.
Oh,
we'll drop
how do,
in.
How do we do that,
man? I don't know. It's a mystery. Sergei Fedorov's jersey is going to be retired now by the Wings in January, that announcement coming out. And we'll talk with attorney Todd Flood about this Hank Winchester case, which is kind of unusual. New Music Tuesday coming up as well. And male cheerleaders with the Minnesota Vikings. I'm sure J.J. McCarthy's just crazy about that idea. Did you read about this town in Arkansas that wants to basically make it so that only white people can live in the town? And they believe that they can withstand legal challenges to that. Deborah Kamen joins us from the New York Times, who wrote on this story. Deborah, thank you for coming on with us.
Thanks for having me.
At first blush, it just sounds almost unreal. How in 2025 this could go on. Where was this birthed? And what makes the people of this town think that they got something that tends to, at least on surface level, fly in the face of everything that this country's about?
You know, you say in 2025, it's hard to believe that this is happening, but I think particularly because it's 2025 and because of the political moment that we're in, that's why the residents of this town believe that they can withstand a legal challenge. They feel that the political climate now is better than it has been in the past and will support them if they are sued.
What's the makeup of the town, how they organize themselves? What had it been, you know, 4 years ago? Where did these people come from? Give us some background.
Okay, so you want the whole backstory.
Yeah.
Raymondton, Arkansas. It's this little, it's about 400 people in the Ozark Mountains, about 2 hours northwest of Memphis. And the organizers of this community purchased 160 acres of what was very, very much raw, wooded, rough terrain in October 2023. And they purchased it through an LLC, but they formed something called a private ownership association. And they believe because you have to be a member of this association in order to own land, that allows them to circumvent the Fair Housing Act. They're leaning very heavily on this one line in the Fair Housing Act that says that people who are parts of a private membership group can give housing to people that they choose. It's really meant so that, for example, if you are a church, you can have a house for someone who works in the church on your property, but they're hoping that this line will support them in their endeavor to actually build a community. They have about 40 people living there right now, and they're hoping it could grow to at least 200 people. So pretty big.
Do they have a waiting list?
I don't know if they have a waiting list, but they say that the membership association itself has hundreds of people. And the other thing that's important to note is they don't expect this endeavor to stop with just this town. They hope to be a blueprint that can be replicated across the country. So they want you to take them seriously, and they should be taken seriously.
Now, I do remember a story. I don't remember the details, but it was, I want to say it was like 15 years ago, 10, 15 years ago, where it was a town, I believe it was in the Midwest, where they used the law, went to court saying that only Christians could live in this town. And they got pretty far, if I remember correctly, before I think it may have ultimately been struck down. Is there any precedent to this that makes them or anyone else think that they could win?
It's a great question. They actually pointed not to that particular story, but they pointed to a town called Epic City, which is in Texas, and is designed to be a Muslim community. Epic City has a mosque in the center. It has a bunch of halal restaurants and grocery stores. They also pointed to communities. There's one that's being built right now in North Carolina that's designed to be a Jewish community. The difference is that those communities are designed specifically so certain people will want to live there, but they don't say if you are not of that faith or that religion, you can't live here. They don't have an application process where they say you are banned if you're not one of us. That's where it becomes not just an issue of preference and actually an issue of discrimination.
Well, the people that sign up and the people that are there, you're not going to change their opinion or their mind. So that's far from the point of what I'm looking at. But what about the people around them and the people in the state? What are they saying? Are they saying anything?
It's a really good question. So I reached out to Governor Huckabee Sanders when I was working on this story. She has yet to respond to my query, but I did speak to the Attorney General. The Attorney General is he says, investigating the group. He hasn't found anything yet, he says, but he says the investigation is continuing. So the language there is not particularly insightful as to what's going on, but they are aware of this. I also spoke to the ACLU, which actually, you know, is obviously not at the state level, but they said that they feel this is a clear-cut case of discrimination. It really will depend on if this goes to court, as we have seen in other cases in the past during this administration, who the judges are and what they personally feel. A lot of the laws and norms that we're used to in this country have changed over the past few months, and the people at this compound, they know that.
Well, it seems that now everything just gets thrown up against the wall, tested, taken to court or challenged. You find one judge who agrees with you, another judge that counters, another appeals judge that counters, and everybody wants to go to the Supreme Court. Everybody thinks that their case should go to the Supreme Court. Should this ever find its way into that neighborhood, is there anything constitutionally that could possibly be twisted to make this argument?
I mean, obviously, I'm not a legal scholar and I don't have a crystal ball, so I'm not really at liberty to answer either of those questions. But I can tell you that when you talk to legal scholars and you talk to people who are experts on discrimination and fair housing law, which I did in my reporting, they all feel very strongly that there's no way this case will stand. But I think we all know that under this administration, a lot of things that we felt could never happen in this country or are completely unprecedented are happening now. And it would be foolish to think that those sorts of trends could not apply here also. It's definitely something that is not to be ignored. It's a significant community that a lot of people are watching.
Well, what about this, though? This is 2025. People just go live somewhere else. You know, I wouldn't, why would I want to go there anyway? So my point, if nobody non-white wants to go there, do they win?
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
So a lot of people that I've spoken to have said the same thing. Why do we care? If they want to segregate themselves, go ahead. The flip side to that argument is we care because if they are allowed to say the Fair Housing Act doesn't apply in this way, in a much broader sense, that rule can start to be applied. If any private membership association can say we have the right to discriminate against who lives in our community, anybody then can form a private membership association. Towns could form them. Corporations could form them. A lot of housing in the United States is owned by corporations. So you can see this not as a one-off community that nobody who doesn't look like them want to live in, but you can see it as a potential pilot for a much bigger project. And that's where it becomes important.
How do they determine if you're white?
I asked them that question. They have a questionnaire on their website that you fill out. You self-disclose about your background. And then sometimes they ask you to give photographs, both of yourself and of your family. And that's to join the membership association. If you want to actually live there, there's also an in-person interview. And I asked them, what does it mean for someone to be white? How do you determine whiteness? Right. And the answer that I received was they don't sometimes look like a white person or they don't present as a white person. They said there have been at least a handful of cases, one or two, where they have rejected applicants for not appearing sufficiently white.
So they're not giving them a 23andMe test or whatever.
I think you
I actually asked them about DNA tests as well, and they did say that there are some members who would like DNA tests, but the founder who I was speaking to at the moment, Eric Orwell, said that he was personally against it. He mentioned also it'd be difficult to monitor.
Because that would just be wrong. That would just be wrong.
That would be your lie.
Just mean,
Mitch,
and discriminatory.
I think if you check off Pat Boone in the section of music that you like, that's a telltale sign.
You know, if he took a 23-1 test, though, he probably had 25% from the African coast. Right. And they'd have to throw him out of his own community.
Well, you know, we laugh because we don't want to admit that something like this really actually is taking root.
Agreed.
But you're right when you say, you know, don't dismiss it outright because there is a serious overtone to this, even though I think these people are nuts. But the fact that they're trying it or trying it now, although, you know, people have tried stuff like this under other presidents, too. But it should be taken seriously, if only to the point of knocking it down, you know. But it's a really fascinating story. You can read this in the New York Times or on the website, Deborah Kamin, K-A-M-I-N, if you're searching for it. thank you so much for coming on with us, Deborah, and looking forward to seeing a follow-up on this.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Appreciate it. It's 760 WJR.